Today's Torah portion, Vayera, I appeared. Exodus 6 through 9, verse 35. What an interesting name of this chapter. I appeared, the Lord appeared. And how much meaning it is there for us today when we enter the new year. The new beginning, new blessing, and new adventure are waiting for us in 2022. And I want to pray for the best for all of us, for all of us. Let the Lord keep us, protect us, bless us, and lead us forward in His power and His presence. As I meditated on this chapter, I was amazed by the majesty of God and majesty of our Messiah, our Lord Yeshua. He's a great Lord. How great Yeshua is, and how often people try to belittle him and make him just a man, or just a rabbi, or prophet, or somebody else. But he's the Lord. He's the Lord. Amen. And actually, welcome to Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue, because we believe that Yeshua is the Lord. And you better to be comfortable with it. Because this is the question for our eternity, to believe in Yeshua, our Messiah, who is the Lord. So let's read a passage from the weekly Torah portion, and we'll go from there. Exodus 6, verse 2 and verse 3. God spoke to Moshe. He said to him, "I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, and though I did not make myself known to them by my name, Yud Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord." Here is their telling of the Lord's conversation with Moses from chapter 3. So let us open chapter 3 and we'll see the origins of this discussion, of these verses. Exodus 3, verses 13 and verse 14. This is the same conversation in chapter 3. But Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to Bnei Israel." I love this. "Suppose I'll go." Do you see here? He's trying to escape this calling and says, "Suppose I go, Lord." It was the negotiating between the Lord and Moses. Do you remember that time? But Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to Bnei Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What should I say to them?" God answered Moses, "I am who I am." Then he said, "You are to say to Bnei Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" What a great conversation. Let us talk about the Lord's name, His name. In the Jewish religious tradition, the four-letter unpronounceable name of God considered the proper name of God. In Hebrew, the four letters are Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. In most English Bibles, the name sounds like Jehovah. In Hebrew world, the exact pronunciation of this name is lost. Nobody knows how it sounds. There are various assumptions about the interpretation of this name. And one of the most common, we just read it in the chapter 3, "I am who I am." Let us say together, the Lord, He's "I am who I am." Here's the more interesting. In the oldest translation of the Tanakh, the Bible, into Greek, called Septuagint, the translation of 70 Jewish sages, Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am" in Greek sounds like "ego eimi" and has the same meaning, "I am," or "I am who I am," in the old Greek. In order to understand why the Lord reveals himself to Moses and gives him a new revelation about himself and his name, I want to talk about the Exodus from Egypt. Let us take 5 minutes to talk about that. So reading the book of Exodus, we mainly focus on miracles, Moses and 10 plagues, because it is so obvious, it is so good to read about it. And of course, all of these are essential topics with deep spiritual meaning for us. But let's look into the very essence of the Exodus, where the Exodus begins and where it leads us. What is the main idea behind all the miracles? It all starts with the Lord revealing himself to his people by telling them his name. Everything starts from this. This is the essence, and this is the beginning of everything, the beginning of the Exodus from the slavery. The Lord revealed himself to Moses and to people of Israel. And the rest followed later. All the miracles, 10 plagues in Egypt, and 40 years in the wilderness served one most important purpose, the most important purpose. The Lord wanted the Jewish people to recognize him and learn to communicate with their God. That was the idea of Exodus. So let me read what the Lord said to Pharaoh. And we know the famous song, "Let My People Go." Do you remember that? Pharaoh. I don't remember, actually. So Exodus chapter 7, verse 26. "Then Adonai said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what Adonai says, let my people go.'" For what? What was the reason? "So they may serve me." What a wonderful place of the scriptures. A little farther, in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, the Lord explains why he brought his people out of Egypt. Exodus 19, verse 5 and verse 6. This is the basis of everything. 19, verse 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. The Lord is telling to his people, "Then you will be my own treasure." Treasure. Can you imagine? You are the treasure in his eyes. You are the treasure. "Then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6. "So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, priests, and a holy nation." Holy means separated for the Lord. "These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Israel." How essential is to understand the most important thing in the scriptures. The events in the book of Exodus occurred because the Lord wanted to reveal himself to us. It was his idea. It was his message to us. And everything that happened in Egypt and later in the desert, all this was a time of getting acquainted. It was a time when Israel retired with God in the wilderness, and no one could prevent the Jewish people from discovering their God for 40 years. It was the Lord and his people and nobody between. It was the time to know each other. Wow, such a great story. That was the time the Lord used to establish his covenant with his people, along with people from different tribes who left Egypt with Israel. It was not only time with Israel, but with many people from the earth, from Egypt. Let us read Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 and verse 38, which is a great revelation for many people and a great blessing for us as a messianic community. Exodus 12, verse 37. Sometimes people ask me, "May I come to Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue if I'm not a Jew?" Let's read here. Here's the answer. "Then Bnei Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot, as well as children." And verse 38. "Also, a mixed multitude went up with them, along with their flocks, herds, and heavy livestock." Many tribes, many people left with Israel to the wilderness. It is remarkable that from the moment of the Exodus, the Lord calls all those people who left Egypt, my people, Israel. All of them. This speaks to me about the greatness of our Lord and that He wants to save all people, regardless of their origin. He loves everyone. So the story of the book of Exodus is reminiscent of the conclusion of a marriage covenant. First, what to do? First, you find out the name of your father partner. Is it important or not? What do you think? If you want to get married, the first, you want to know her name or his name. What do you think? I think so. Then you get to know her or him better. You have time to spend together. Then the wedding, the conclusion of the marriage covenant, and only then the years of life together. When there is no one between you and your half, the spouses become the closest people to each other in all earth. That is what Scripture calls the mystery of marriage. So when you understand this, when you realize the meaning of the great Exodus and the conclusion of the covenant of God with people, it becomes clear why so many times in the Bible the Lord calls Himself the husband to Israel and Israel His wife. One of my most favorite places of Scripture, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 5 and verse 6. Here's the example. Isaiah 54, 5 and 6. For your maker is your husband. The Lord is your husband. Adonai Tzavoth is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called God of all earth. But everything starts with Adonai Tzavoth is your husband. Verse 6. For Adonai has called you back like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit. Here we see the Lord who is the husband and Israel who is the wife. 40 years in the wilderness was a time of hardship. The conclusion of a marriage agreement when no one could stand between the Lord and between His children. It was the time, 40 years. This is the very essence of the story of Exodus. That is why the very first thing the Lord does, He tells Moses His name, gives him and all the people a new revelation about who He is. Why? Because the Lord wanted to be close to His children, so that they would know Him. This was an idea behind Exodus. He wanted to have fellowship with His people, close relationships with His people. And this basic idea runs through all entire Bible. The Lord wants us to know Him, communicate with Him, live for Him as He does for us. But let's read one essential passage from the Scriptures and look at the prophetic fulfillment of the book of Exodus. Let us open 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. And let us look at a very interesting idea here. So Rabbi Shaul, 2 Corinthians 3, 3. It is clear that you are a letter from Messiah delivered by us. What an interesting idea here. The letter from the Messiah delivered by us. So we introduced you to the Lord, and now you are the letter from the Messiah to others. Written not with ink, but with the Ruach of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, shows some difference in the tablets given to Moses and the commandments written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There's some difference here. Perhaps someone can say that this is written only in the letters of the New Testament, but let's find a similar passage in the Tanakh, in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, verse 30 through 32. And by the way, we will use many places of Scripture today. So Jeremiah 31, verse 30 through 32. And remember, here's the Tanakh. Way before Yeshua's coming, it was a prophetic letter. When you read this, remember, it was before Yeshua's time. Behold, days are coming. It is a declaration of Adonai. Not Prophet Jeremiah, not Moses, Adonai. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So here's the Moses' covenant. For they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. It is a declaration of Adonai. And verse 32. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. It is a declaration of Adonai. Third time the Lord speaks about it. It is my declaration. And here's the heart of everything. Here's the heart of everything. I will put my Torah, the same Torah, my Torah. But now I will put my Torah within them. Yes. I will write it on their heart. I will be their God, and they will be my people. What a difference between tablets of stone and hearts of people. The fact is that through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord says that the Jewish people, and as I mentioned earlier, many other peoples of Egypt who came out with the people of Israel could not fulfill Torah, the holy and righteous commandment, because the hearts of the people were incapable and sinful. That was the reason. The holy Torah and dirty and sinful hearts of the people. And therefore, the Lord promises the new covenant in which He will write His commandments not on tablets made of stone, but directly on our hearts by His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It is a joy for me to understand this thing. So He's writing His Torah, His commandments in my heart by His Holy Spirit. Why I'm talking about this now? Here's the prophetic meaning. Because for the first time, the Jewish people in Egypt lost their relationship with the Lord, completely lost for 400 years. And the Lord gave them a new name so that Israel would get to know Him and recognize Him again. So after centuries, because the Jewish people and all humanity did not preserve their relationship with the Lord, they broke the covenant given through Moses. We just read about it in Jeremiah chapter 31. Therefore, the Lord, because He loves us so much, He came again, not through Moses, but in Yeshua the Messiah, in order to reveal Himself to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. He reminded us of His name again, teaching us how to communicate with Him. Okay, here's one more favorite of favorites. Let me read the story from the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, which reminds me of how great our Savior Yeshua is. It's really one of my favorites. So let us start with John chapter 7 and keep your finger there because it's important. John chapter 7, Yohanan chapter 7. So verse 2. Now the Jewish feast of tabernacles, which means Sukkot, was near. So please keep in mind, everything we will read it is very important to remember it was on the Sukkot, on the Jewish holiday, on our holiday, biblical holiday. This fact has a significant prophetic meaning, which we will discuss later. So let's take a look farther at John chapter 8. So Sukkot, remember this, chapter 7. Now let's go to chapter 8 and start with verse 57. there's conversation between Yeshua and people in Jerusalem. Then Judeans said to him, so finally, they said to him, "You are not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham." I mean, a good question. Very reasonable and important question. Yeshua answered, "Amen, amen," twice amen. And if you know that his name also, amen, if in the book of Revelation, Yeshua's name, amen. So when you say amen on something, think about it twice. Because amen is Yeshua's name. So Yeshua said, "Amen, true, yes. Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I..." Okay. Three people knows what's written here. I'm glad for you. So, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am." And verse 59, for those who don't understand what it's about here, it's so obvious. "Then they picked up stones to throw at him." They understood everything. "But Yeshua hid himself and went out from the temple." So, does this remind you of anything? Many Bible interpreters believe Yeshua calls himself with the name given in Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am." And you know what? Everyone who stood around him and heard these words fully understood him. Fully. Because they picked up stones to throw at him, because he named himself by the Lord, name of God, "I am." We do not have a Hebrew text in the book of John, so we cannot know for sure what Yeshua said, that he is Yud Hei Vav Hei, but based on the people's reaction, it becomes obvious. Also, one more important detail, and I was fascinated when I found it many years ago. In Greek, John 8:58, "before Abraham was, I am," in Greek, this phrase sounds like "ego eimi," which means "I am." And the most exciting thing is that in the oldest translation of the Tanakh, the Bible into Greek Septuagint, which was considered kosher and the most widespread in the entire Roman Empire, it was made specially for Jews who lived in the exile because they forgot Hebrew. And 70 sages, it wasn't Christians together, it was 70 sages, wise people, Jewish people, way before Messiah's coming, before Yeshua came to this earth. They came together and they translated Bible, Tanakh, into Greek, so the Jewish people in Greek can read it and understood the meaning of the Bible. So it was kosher, widespread translation of the Tanakh at the time. So, 70 Jewish sages, translators of the scriptures, translated Exodus 3:14, when God said to Moses, "I am who I am," in Greek they translated "ego eimi," "I am." This is exactly the same name that John used in the 8th chapter when Yeshua said, "I am." Ego eimi, the same words. And of course, everyone knew the translation of the Septuagint at the time because it was the most common translation of the scriptures. Also, various commentators of the scriptures say that Yeshua called himself by the name of the Lord, and that is why people were so furious and wanted to kill Yeshua. For them, it was such unbelievable blasphemy that despite the fear of Romans' rules and laws, they decided to kill him on the spot. Right away. It was blasphemy for them. Actually, do you remember that the very name Yeshua is translated from Hebrew as "the Lord our salvation," or "the Lord is our Savior," Yeshua. Colossians 2, verse 9. Let us go deeper. Colossians 2:9. It's about Yeshua. For all the fullness of deity lives bodily in him. It's about Yeshua. For all the fullness of deity lives bodily in him. Romans 9, chapter 5. To them belongs the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, the Messiah, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. What a wonderful prophetic picture in today's Torah chapter. The first time the Lord meets Moses calling himself, I am. Then Yeshua introduces himself to people by answering them, I am. Moses asks the Lord, who are you? What is your name? How can I introduce you to people? Yeshua was asked, who are you? And he tells them, I am. Ego me in Greek. The Lord revealed his name to Moses, and only then did the exodus from Egyptian slavery begin, and the Sinai covenant was concluded. In the Gospel of John, Yeshua reminds them of his name by introducing them to the new covenant. And only then a great exodus from the slavery of sin and death begins. For the first time, the Lord revealed himself to Moses as the Lord I am at the beginning of the exodus, at the time of Passover. And here's the prophetic meaning. Do you remember? Because it was the time of Sukkot. So for the first time, it was the time of Passover. And Passover symbolized the beginning of our spiritual path, our redemption, the beginning of the year. For the second time, Yeshua revealed himself to us as the Lord, as the great I am, on the holiday of Sukkot. Sukkot is the end of everything. Establishing the Messianic kingdom on earth when everything will be completed. It is the last high holiday. In other words, Yeshua reminding them of his name tells them that I am the Messiah and I am the end of the era. I am the beginning of the Messianic era on the earth and I am the culmination of everything. So Yeshua has become our Passover and he will become our Sukkot, the dwelling place of God with people. Two more places of Scripture. This is the last ones. Revelation chapter 21. I would like to support everything with the Scriptures. So we would have faith, not based on my words, but based on the Scriptures. Yes? Amen. I love it. I love to base everything on the Scriptures. Revelation 21, verse 3. Here's the end of everything. Here's the Sukkot, the great Sukkot. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle. Do you remember Sukkot, tabernacle? Among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you remember Pesach and Sukkot? To the thirsty I will freely give from the spring of the water of life. Here's the question. Do you remember who the Alpha and Omega is in the book of Revelation? Specifically chapter 1. What is his name? Yeshua. Let's base on the Scriptures. Revelation 1, verse 7 and 8. So our faith will be based upon the Scriptures. Look. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. Even dead people will see him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Yes, amen. It is from the prophets. I am the Alpha and Omega, says Adonai Elohim, who is and who was. And who is to come? The Almighty. Hallelujah. So now let's be practical. Let's take a few important lessons from today's Torah chapter and its prophetic fulfillments, and let's apply it to our life today. First, the most important, and I would like to say to you, and with all my passion, all my faith, with all my heart, first, we need to believe in Yeshua. Not just as a teacher or a rabbi, but as the Lord. I know so many people who call themselves messianic or Christians, but they don't believe in Yeshua as the Lord. If you are this way, you are not a messianic, you are not a Christian. Because our faith based upon belief in Yeshua, who is the Lord. And you need to understand, to inherit salvation, we need to believe in Him and love Him. Love Yeshua, who He is. He is not just a prophet. He is not just a good Jewish man or rabbi. Yes, he is a prophet. Yes, he is a rabbi. Yes, he is a Jew. But he is much more than that. He is the Lord. And remember that John 8, before Abraham, I am. It was not a question for them. They took stones. They're trying to kill him. They understood everything because he claimed to be I am. And the second, please remember, I would like to remind you of the most important thing where everything begins about personal relationships with the living God. And this is the most important thing. Believe in Yeshua and have personal, close relationship with Him. Notice how the Lord talks to Moses. He says, you know me by the name by which I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, fathers. Now I am revealing to you as the Lord. If we drew a parallel with our life today, then today everyone has heard about God. Everyone. Many call themselves believers because they were born in a certain religious society or observe some kind of traditions. You know, here's the tradition, there's the tradition, here's a little bit, there a little bit, and I'm a good religious believing person. I'm keeping Yom Kippur. It's my favorite time of the year. I ask forgiveness for everything. I'm supposed to be clean the first day of Yom Kippur. I'm not sure about the second day because, you know, third day. At the end of the year, I'm dirty and I'm sinful. But praise the Lord for Yom Kippur. This is not the way with the Lord. You need to have personal, close relationship with Him. This is an idea behind the scriptures. Every day is Yom Kippur for you. Every day. Because every day can be the last day in your life. Each one of us, we need to realize that the Lord is a living and real person, and only the relationship with Him can save us and bring changes to our future. It's all. Our priority is to know God intimately and personally, to experience Him in our life. And as Jeremiah said, you will seek me and find me when you will search me with all your heart. Not little bit, but with all your heart. This is the way to find the Lord. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai. Amen. So our main goal is to know the Lord, who He is, and obey Him. So I would like to share very simple, practical steps how to maintain relationships in the 2022. Do you want to know this secret, this mystery? Because 22 is different from 21, so we need to do something different. So let us go in these steps. First, daily tshuva, daily repentance. Open your heart to God, admit your sinfulness, accept Yeshua's great sacrifice into your life, and turn to Him. And do it daily. Do not tell anyone it is secret. Actually, go and tell to everyone, tshuva, repentance, turn to the Lord. The second, Keep changing your ways. Always turn to the Lord and work on the interests and goals of your life. Make the Lord the top priority in your life by daily seeking Him and His will. Top priority. He's the top priority. That will open a completely new life in everything you do. It will bring success to your business and strengthen your family and bring peace into your heart if you'll seek Him every day of your life. Third, read the Bible every day. It is a new step for us. Now it's an old step. We need to read the scriptures. Amen. There is all the information and spiritual food for our life. Nothing changes a person's life like a constant abiding in the Word of God. If you are too busy, and we are too busy sometimes, start with simple goals. Start with something small. Read one chapter per day. Just start, do something. And you will find the next time you will read two chapters, three chapters, the Lord will consume you. Four step. Have a constant prayer life. Speak to God in your own words in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. People who underestimate the time spent with the Lord in solitude lose their strength, love, and faith. But the simple prayer spoken in your heart has tremendous, tremendous power. Let us enter 2022 in prayer. Let it be a year of prayers. Not complaints, but prayers. We have so many things to complain about, yeah? So many. I mean, can you think about what can you complain of? Better to pray. Turn complaints into prayer. The next step, stay in the congregation. Where there are two or three, Yeshua is in our midst. He's right here today. How we grow together. Here we grow together. Strengthen each other. And the last one, but the most important one, serve God, serve the Lord. Help your congregation with your gifts and speak the good news to those who do not know Yeshua yet. Amen. I would like to invite my wife Ina, and let us stand together and enter this year, yeah, with the sound of shofar. Is it shofar?
Yes.
Yeah. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. Let us pray and let us bless the Lord. Yevrecha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. And remember, Shabbat school is open right now. Shabbat shalom.